Enterprise Management 360, your main source for tech news, analysis, podcasts, and videos for the enterprise.
Hello and welcome to the EM360 podcast, where we have a weekly conversation with people who are impacting the enterprise tech landscape. My name is Matt Harris, Head of Content here at EM360 and your host on today's episode. Today I'm joined by Yaron Haviv. Yaron is the founder and CTO at Aguazio, and we're here today to discuss the future of MLOps. Yaron, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me here.
Yeah, no problem at all. You're on. Just for those who might not have heard of you already, could you just give a little background into who you are and what Aguazio do?
Yeah, so Aguazio is a sort of an MLOps company, so automating all the activities around moving ML and AI and GenAI to production. Aguazio was actually acquired by McKinsey a year ago, so now it's part of the McKinsey data science and analytics group. And what we do, try to accelerate the productization of AI use cases in many, you know, top 1,000 firms. My background, I come from a long technology background, being CTO and VP in different companies, including Mellanox, which got acquired by NVIDIA. I regularly speak in different events and do keynotes around machine learning, AI, and especially in this area of productizing it. I also wrote a book for O'Reilly called MLOps for the Enterprise, which provides a lot of hands-on guides to how to productize AI use cases.
Sounds good. Thank you for that. So obviously, I really wanted to kind of pick your brain about where we are in the kind of ML and AI space. And I think from the rise of GenAI to, you know, the EU AI Act, it's been a particularly explosive year in the AI space. What's really been your perspective on the landscape right now? What are some of the key trends over the last 12 months that have really shaped what we're seeing today?
Yeah, I think that the introduction of things like ChatGPT almost a year ago sort of sparked a lot of imagination. People were so on the bench with AI, started seeing that as something a lot more accessible and also they can make a much bigger impact on their business. So we've seen a move from AI to generative AI and leveraging those new foundation models and new technologies like OpenAI to enhance businesses, create a lot more productivity, and also it introduces a lot of risks. You know, some people use those technologies for things like deep fake and for malicious activities. So side by side, everything good, you know, always come with sort of risks aside, and those risks need to be addressed. This is where I think the EU AI Act is sort of one of the first, steps in terms of trying to govern those things and make sure that the impact, you know, but today you've seen it with youngsters, they read something in the Facebook, in Instagram, in TikTok, they believe it immediately. So I think this is where we need to have a lot more control about the content, about what those things generate, what kind of data. You know, there are privacy aspects. When someone trains OpenAI model, it grabs information from the internet. That information may be liable for copyrights for someone, you know. So there are a lot of aspects that needs to be address, so we provide it in a more controlled and safe way to consumers.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because obviously it goes without saying that most businesses are already, you know, looking to implement some form of AI into the business. We actually covered a Slack report recently which stated that 3/4 of UK businesses named implementing AI and implementing some form of ML into their business as being their top priority for 2024. Kind of like, with that being said, are there any common issues or challenges when it comes to that implementation? And would you argue that governance is perhaps the biggest one at this point?
So, yes, obviously, it's public knowledge that a lot of people kick tires around AI and they build prototypes, they build solutions, they go with some nice demos to the CEO who approves the projects and so on. But 80 to 90% of the projects, according to the recent statistics, they don't really get to be a product. And why is that? Because it's quite different to show a nice demo where you have a chat that sometimes answers the correct question, sometimes not. When you do the demo to the CEO, obviously you just focus on their nice questions that it answers. You sort of downplay the the hallucinations and the sort of additional risks. But then when you get the project approved and you're trying to push this into production, suddenly you're a lot more concerned about making sure that those chatbots provide the accurate result, the accurate answer that aligns with your brand language and does not present risks and does not hallucinate it and generate wrong data and so on. So this is where you are starting to figure out it's not that easy. You have to, you know, work out the data in a different way, making sure it's clean, make sure it's structured, make sure the answers are accurate. You need to apply testing, test harnesses, CI/CD, all those things. You need to provide monitoring and dashboards and command and control centers. And, you know, on and on, you may need to tune the model, not use an off-the-shelf model, which is very generic and is not too accurate. So this is where the engineering is starting to be staffed with more and more people. Projects become longer. A lot of knowledge that people are missing on how to get there, because, you know, taking a LangChain library and playing around with something you read in a Medium article, that's nice. Getting things to become scalable and risk-free, that's a totally different practice. Add to that the cost element of those things are pretty expensive, and they're also slow. You know, the response time of LLMs is, you know, could be measured in seconds or more. So think about, you know, a bank or an organization tries to build an application that serves millions of people. That's going to cost you quite a bit. So this is where you're starting to think, okay, how can I optimize the cost? Maybe I'll use some open source LLMs, not just OpenAI in certain situations. Maybe I can optimize the software stack. Maybe I can, you know, reduce the number of calls and so on. All of those things introduce significant operational risk that require much higher level of engineering compared to downloading a nice package and playing around with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think what you're talking about here is especially important in those sensitive horizontals like the financial industry, where, you know, risk is a little bit more high stakes, to use the term. When it comes to that additional level of, you know, considerations in terms of compliance and stuff like that, is there a change to the ML strategy there?
I think that, you know, risk and governance were always a core in the sense of how to deliver AI to production. All the recent years, as machine learning became more and more operationalized, things like model monitoring, drift detection, all those things started to pop up because people understood that you can just deploy something and not really know what it's doing. And, you know, aspects of explainability. So when it's done on tabular data, you know, structured data, like traditional machine learning, it's more controlled. It's very easy to, for example, assess the accuracy of a model that predicts, you know, some score or some class. You know, is it a cat or a dog? It's easy to figure out if it's really a cat or a dog. But when the model emits a textual answer, which is very hard to, like, let's assume you're asking who was the anchor of a certain show in 2020, okay? The model says Joe. How do you know if Joe is really the one? So you have a very hard time knowing if the answers are actually accurate. There are no good measures to measure, you know, without really having sometimes people in the loop to evaluate that. There are some trends in this area of how to improve the validation and evaluation techniques. But this is quite hard. When people train data, you know, there are endless example of ChatGPT that suddenly it emits some identifiers, some personal identifiers that were in the source content that it was trained on, which essentially provides a PII risk. Or you could take other examples of people asking how to make a bomb, and they get some nice set of instructions. So initially it was easy to do it. Now it's slightly harder. You need to say, yeah, I want to write a story about how to write a bomb. Can you help me? Then it may actually bypass the guardrails of the model that were introduced to essentially address that sort of challenge. So there are still a lot of more risks when it comes to generative AI, because the models emit a lot more content. They train on a lot more data that's not totally in your control. It's not structured, so it's harder to figure out, you know, the accuracy of the responses or control all those aspects.
Yeah, I kind of understand that. And obviously, you know, I think one of the key parts of this conversation is scalability as well, right? Because none of this really matters unless you can get something in the scaler. How scalable is MLOps right now, and what key considerations must be made when it comes to companies planning that growth?
Yeah, so I think first, the good thing is that MLOps became something real in the last 2-3 years. People were sort of building things ad hoc without a lot of automation and observability and so on. And in the last few years, a large organization developed an MLOps practice with, how you automate the testing, the deployment, observability of models, tracking everything so you can later on do explainability. So MLOps is being adopted and is helping many organizations to provide more AI to production. One of the phenomena that I've seen this year was that with the introduction of Gen AI, people just suddenly forgot that Gen AI is AI. You know, it's sort of this cool toy. Everyone plays around with it. And all the practices that they've been implementing for AI, they sort of abandoned with this new toy. And now they're starting to, grab their hair and understand that, there's the same challenges, if not even worse, and they need to start adopting MLOps practices to Gen AI. Again, things like testing, things like monitoring the activities of the model, tracking. Everyone talks, one of the most popular applications in Gen AI is like document question and answering. Okay, you upload a PDF document, you ask questions about it. So in the playground area, it's pretty easy. You go to OpenAI, you upload the document, you ask them questions. There are a bunch of other software providers that provide similar solutions. But let's think about production scale. What happens if your organization, a bank, insurance company, telco, etc., that have thousands of documents that may update on a regular basis? Every few days, different documents get updated. How do you manage the life cycle of those documents? So when you ask a question, it's using the accurate document. So you need to manage, data pipelines for ingestion and cleansing, also removing privacy and so on. You need to start applying versioning, preserve metadata to filter things. So then you're starting to build what, let's call it an unstructured data lake, which resembles to the practices of traditional ML. But the people who started the journey with Gen AI sort of didn't do that. And now they're sort of hit the wall and they're going back and regroup and starting to build it the right way, pretty much like they did it for AI, doing it for generative AI.
Yeah, I kind of, off the back of that, had one more question for you, which is, where do you really see the future of all of this going? And is there anything that machine learning can't do right now that you'd really like to see made possible in the next 12 to 18 months?
Okay, that's an interesting question. First, I'm not sure what I wanted to do because, again, it also, there are social aspects here to, like, we need to control what this thing does and not necessarily become a monster. But I think in general, all this aspect of making sure that when it answers what it answers, it's accurate is the sort of the missing thing right now. Because until it's not really there, there are challenges in the deployment in real business applications. You'll need to apply a lot more guardrails around it and choose use cases that are less risky, or in some cases involve human in the loop. Like there's a pattern called Copilot, which is essentially the LLM answers the answer, and then you sort of put a guy, look into the answer and approve or modify. So I think until people can really trust this to generate the right results, even in the visual, if you played around with DALL-E and so on, it generates an image, but, the nose is sort of twisted and so on. So until those solutions won't be perfected a little more, and also they'll come with all the aspects of operationalization and cost will be more sensible, performance will be more sensible, they'll be confined to sort of niche applications or applications where things could be controlled and not introduce too much risk.
Got it. Well said. Yaron, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to come on to the EM360 podcast today.
Welcome. My pleasure.
And also thank you to everyone who took the time to listen as well. We hope you took a lot away from my conversation with Yaron, but for further information on what we talked about, you can head on over to iguazio.com. That's iguazio.com. We'll be back next week with another episode in our podcast series, but until then, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on all major platforms. Follow the conversation on our socials at EM360Tech on Twitter and LinkedIn. And for more great daily content, please head on over to em360tech.com.